Blog Talk Radio.
I'm Jenny Andrews. I'm a Chicago teacher from Lindblom. I listen to True Brother Radio with Ray, Devon, and Candace. And if you're not listening to the True Brothers, then the truth ain't in you.
Some of it you gon' like, some of it you ain't. Tired of hearing fools complaining in barber chairs and beauty shops.
This is True Brothers Radio.
More like it.
If you're not listening to the Truth Brothers,
then the truth ain't in you.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Hello, everybody. It's time for Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And I'm logging into the chat room as we speak for all your questions and comments. Hello, everybody.
And everybody knows that is the producer supreme, Candace.
Get it! I was just right away.
Oh, wow.
So how was everyone's day?
Pretty good.
Not bad.
Pretty good. It's better than
really?
The week.
From you?
Yeah,
really? Yeah. All right.
That
world's gonna end tomorrow, everybody.
Yeah, that requires another round.
Right.
Right. So.
Won't complain.
That's good. That's good. Yeah. Had a decent week. Decent day myself. So that's good.
What you got going on?
Yeah, just
regular.
Man, just regular. Yeah.
I got you.
Just actually got to pay some bills and get in trouble. So life's good.
All right.
Who we hollering at? Right.
First off, we got to say happy anniversary to Sharon and Robert Thomas. They celebrated their anniversary this past week. Also, my little brother and his wife, Thomas and Monique Harris, they celebrated their anniversary this week. So, congratulations to both of y'all.
Oh,
that's sweet, you know. Oh, yeah.
Fine.
There you go. I'm just saying. Anniversary.
Hater?
I am a hater. No, I'm just playing. Congrats, y'all. Love y'all. We got to holler at Maya Hawkins, Samantha Harris. We got a special holler out to B. Cole, who is having his Sweetest Day comedy show October 21st at Adriana. So everybody go out there, get your ticket.
You I think we're going to have to make an appearance at that one, too.
No doubt. Also, we want to tell Ken Norton, you know, the former heavyweight champ, to get well soon. He was hospitalized after complications from a stroke. So definitely want to tell him to get well soon. Tori Johnson, got to holler at her. And got to say good luck to the Bears tonight, man, playing the Cowboys. Me being a straight Chicago fan, I got to root for them.
And notice this Monday, we went ahead and got the actual refs back because we don't want none of that.
Yeah, we don't want of that. What you calling? What you calling? It's a catch. Nah. Anyway, and now to DJ's B-Day, September 26th, a dude named Black Sosa. Don't know what that do for y'all, but happy birthday to him. September 27th, Cole Brown. September 28th, Jerrica Avery and Akilah Sims. September 29th, Adrian Pittner. And today is Donnie Hathaway's birthday. So happy birthday to Donnie Hathaway.
Also, happy birthday to James Bond. Bond franchise turns 50 this Friday. Pretty, hey.
Okay.
Taking that third, I guess.
There you go.
But, yeah. Whatever. Oh, jam-packed show for everybody today. Just
that's right.
You guys
that's
know
right.
We have a huge, huge, huge show. We actually got a update from the Sarah Kuzan trial. We're going to get all the updates from a person who's very close to the case, actually. And for the second hour, we will be getting chilling out and talking to J.L. Woodson for Black Creativity. That's going to be wild. We'll get into his accolades later. But definitely, you guys want to tune in for that as well.
Cool. Matter of fact, let's get Sarah out the way now, because that's important.
Yeah, no doubt.
Cool. Hey, you on with the Truth Brothers? Is this Kim, Jessica, or Carrie?
It's actually all three of us. We call.
Well,
hey,
all
right.
There you go. Group call.
There you go. How y'all doing?
Good, thanks.
Cool. Okay,
thanks.
So what's going on with Sarah?
Well, we are basically...
Go ahead, take your time.
We're basically waiting until October 18th. For those of you who have been following her case or who, you know, don't know anything about her case, Sarah Cruzan was a child victim of human trafficking. She was sentenced to life without parole, and we've basically been in the battle of wars between district attorneys in California, the governor, and law enforcement, everyone that you can possibly think of trying to get her out of prison. Right now, if we speed up to today, we have basically been Sarah has been given extensions. Last month she was given a 60-day extension. Now she's given another 30-day extension, and the new date is October 18th, where the district attorney in her case has to decide whether they will release her on time served or whether she will go back to court for a new trial.
Right. Okay. And for those who don't know, the reason that they are going through this situation is because Sarah was convicted at the age of 16, I believe. No, 17, right?
16.
16. When she was sentenced to life without parole.
Yeah.
And that's what...
I want to ask y'all a quick question. With Swartzen ass her out of there, where is Jerry Brown on this?
Well, we feel that we probably have a stronger chance with Jerry Brown. He actually just signed a bill in California, which is SB9, which basically takes the 309 juveniles that were sentenced in California to life without parole. It basically gives them another chance. They would be eligible for parole instead of just saying, you know, they'll never see light of day and spend the rest of their life in there. With that being said, as it relates to Sarah's case, we have initiated campaigns directed towards him where we have sent letters and, tried to make contact with him. He hasn't publicly stated how he has felt, but we do feel that he would support her cause and possibly let her free at some point in time. But right now we're back and forth with the court system, so we can't go that route just yet.
Right, right. Okay. Are you guys going to be having another rally for her?
Hopefully.
Yeah, we're currently there's quite a few projects that we have underway that we're working really hard behind the scenes to get put together. We did have a rally out there in Riverside in front of the DA's office the last day. September 17th, she was supposed to make a decision the next day. So a group of us went down there and made our presence known. And actually, I delivered 25,000 signatures of Sarah's supporters to the DA's office. Signatures on 800 pages, a really big, heavy box. And so we went down and did that. It's just really hard because Sarah has supporters all over the globe, but, I think it's hard because, you kind of have to be in that Riverside County, L.A., San Diego, Orange County area. And, we kind of are putting our the word out to some more folks to see if we can get a bigger group out there. So if people are interested, if your listeners happen to be in our area and they want to get at us, they can email us at info@freesarahcruzan.org. And if anyone's interested in helping to put something together, we would love anyone's help.
Okay. And real quick, how is Sarah feeling right now? How is she holding up?
Do you want me to answer, Kim?
I know that she definitely gets a little bit anxious, with all these delays and, extensions, when you're waiting, like checking off the days on the calendar for a decision. But she's holding up well from what I've heard. I haven't personally been able to be in contact with her for a minute just because of all this work we're doing for her. But I think she's holding up all right from what I've heard.
Yeah, I know you jumped through a lot of hoops to talk to her. So please be sure to give her love from the Truth Brothers, please.
And yeah, and any repeat the websites and any numbers that they can any of our listeners can call, and any websites to get any more information as far as Sarah Cruzan. Could you repeat the websites and the numbers?
Yeah, you can go to www.iamsjk.com. That takes you through a timeline of Sarah's life and gets you, you know, just hooked up with, like, some relevant links to, like, dive into her story, and you can learn all about her case, see all the paperwork that was filed for yourself. And then from there, if you can go on into the www.freesarahcruzan.org, which is a site that has, like, more in-depth information with projects of how you can get involved. You can click on a tab, and there's letters that you can download and print and sign and just send off to, you know, the president, Oprah, the DA, Paul Zellerbach, you know, basically the Governor Brown. There's postcards available. There's posters. There's materials there. You can, you can call Paul Zellerbach yourself at area code 951-955-5400, and you can let him know that you stand with Sarah and that you are asking him to grant her time served on October 18th, 2012. You can also email him at, it is pzellerbach at rivcoda.org. And you can follow us at Twitter at @FreeSarahCruzan. And you can sign Sarah's petition on change.org at change.org/FreeSarah.
All right.
Wow.
All right. Thank you. And you guys keep up the good work. You keep their feet to the fire, and if there's anything else we can do, again, we're going to have you guys back on after a while to give up another update, but if there's anything else you need from us, don't hesitate to call, all right?
Call, ask, email. You guys know we're here to stand with you and fight with you the whole way. So any way that you guys can email us or any information that you need, or especially with us, if you need us to do anything, just let us know.
That's right.
Thank you.
All
thank
right.
You.
Thanks so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Bye bye.
Enjoy your day.
All right. That's good stuff. So you know what? We're gonna take a quick break, and then when we come back, we'll jump right into the Terrible Truth. Truth Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers Radio. Everybody, this is Ray Gates of Truth Brothers Radio, taking this time to say thanks to everyone who's tuned into the show. We are on the rise, and we have you to thank for it. If you like what you're hearing, feel free to join our Facebook page, give us a review on iTunes, or drop us a line at wewanttruth@att.net. Also, don't forget to tell your friends about the show. Due to you spreading the word about the show, we are on our way to becoming the number one show on Blog Talk Radio. Thanks again for joining the Truth Brothers family. Peace.
Another inebriated beat. You know what time it is, straight for the street.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio. We're back. And this is Kent Clark with The Terrible Truth. This portion of The Terrible Truth is brought to you by the new NBC series, CSI Replacement Refs. Good cops, bad calls. Go ahead.
And Jamarcus Webb Quarterback Protection Agency. At Jamarcus Webb, we'll hold them, but if we can't, they're going to get through.
All right. All right, first story up is I remember we did a story a while back about the woman who won a lottery and still was collecting the food stamps.
Uh-huh.
All right. Michigan, that's this girl here. Michigan lotto winner accused of food stamp fraud found dead.
Well, there you go. That's one way to end that.
Amanda Clayton, the $1 million Michigan lottery winner who continued to collect food stamps after her big payday, was found dead from possible drug overdose on Saturday, the Detroit Free Press reports. Friends found Clayton lying in the bed holding her 1.5-year-old daughter.
I thought she was holding a lottery ticket.
That is wrong. Results from her autopsy is pending. The Lincoln Park, Michigan woman drew national attention for collecting food stamp benefits after winning the state lottery $1 million Make Me Rich game show. The shot back at critics arguing that she was entitled to the benefits because she needs the money. As state Attorney General Bill Shullett, that's his name, charged Clayton with a felony welfare fraud, and she was sentenced to 9 months of probation in late July, according to the Free Press. She was also ordered to pay $5,500 in food stamps and medical assistance she received after winning the lottery money. That was
a small thing.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
No problem.
I'm cashing now. Minutes later, I'm sorry.
That's it.
She just had to pay that money back.
Bath salts.
That's all it is, too.
Bath salts. That's right.
So,
there you go. 818-514-1202. Yeah. So, hey, dog holding the baby on bath salts.
I know it's bath salts.
I'm telling you, some bad stuff.
Did they say what it was? No,
they said a possible drug overdose. They didn't say what it was, though. Probably the heroin.
How old was she?
She was fairly young. We got a picture of her. She was fairly young when we saw her. But then again, I heard them over them drugs added about 5 years to your face.
That was lottery. Lottery did that. They killed her.
Why?
Because they didn't want to pay her for the next 20 years.
She got the lump sum and a reduced rate.
Then they're going to take it back. Baby don't get it.
There you go.
That's my style.
I know.
Government came and took my baby. And it's bad.
All right. Alaska woman falls off 60-foot cliff while texting.
I saw that. And you're an idiot. But go ahead.
There you go. Emergency responders in Kodak. That's Kodak, Alaska. The camera company said they had to overcome the challenges of a cliff as well as the incoming tide to rescue a woman who fell 60 feet onto the rocks. Maria Parishnikov survived the fall September 17th and is recovering in an Anchorage hospital. The Kodak Daily Mirror, that's the newspaper, reports that she flipped. That she slipped. While texting on her phone at the same time she was trying to toss a cigarette butt over the cliff's edge.
Look, Ma, I'm Gabby Douglas. And then flipped over the...
Dang. Triple somersault.
Oh.
Go ahead.
Her friend Anthony Burke heard her scream from the rocks below and called emergency. And these cigarettes are soggy.
Dang.
Hey, whatever. Firefighters from the Bayside and Kodak Fire Departments rushed to the accident scene. Parishnikov was just 10 feet from the incoming tide. She was placed and rolled in a stretcher and hauled up the cliff to an ambulance. Burke, a friend, wrote in a newspaper, "Lesson learned.
Yep.
Don't leave the gate open. Don't text message and smoke cigarettes on a slippery bluff while on top of the rocks."
Because all of those leads to danger.
Obviously. How the hell do you text and smoke at the same damn time?
You can do it. You hold the cigarette in your mouth on your lip, and you text
while
on your iPhone.
About, I can't believe what this fool said to me.
Yep. You know what? I'm going to like
why are you walking on the cliff?
That's what she was like. You know what?
They got nothing better to do in Alaska but to walk on.
I bet she was falling, saying, "Oh,
oh yeah, oh yeah, that's
oh yeah." Yeah.
Tell me, he didn't just say that.
Hell, yep.
I'm and they just kept it. Walking.
But then again,
they probably went back to look for her because she had the bear, probably.
No, they probably was like,
she
yeah,
said,
now
yeah.
it's a party. Woo!
Yeah.
Oh, she's over. Okay.
Yeah.
But you know what? You know it's a law that you can't text and walk now at the same time? Like, you can get a ticket for that, for texting and walking?
Because people walk straight into the street.
Yeah, you ever see that? Remember the chick in the mall who was texting and walking to the fountain?
Yep.
Yeah.
Moron.
But that's, we're making laws for everything now, man.
No,
it's not a nationwide law.
That's
right, wherever it is. I mean, there's people who like to walk in the street and text.
I mean, if I look like, hey, okay, nobody's coming. Oh, let me see. Like the commercial with the dude who has that handicap arm.
It's not that serious.
I know you got dudes that got the handicap arm, and they be, you know, the guy.
What is the handicap arm?
You know who? 818-514-1202. If y'all seen the commercial where the dude is sitting there, I was texting and driving, and then he's
driving, right?
But I'm saying, like, and he's putting on his shirt.
Yes.
And all, yeah, she saw, yes. And all it say is he's holding up this sign and say "We are," and he just
that's
has
all
an R.
That's, yeah.
That's all he
that
got out.
That's all he can
that
say.
Was,
yeah.
That was a
yeah. That's tragic because
it was
man.
All good.
Yeah, we
whatever.
Are.
Whatever. I was rooting for the truck. Whatever, man. Don't text and drive. It's stupid. The message ain't that serious.
Hey,
man, she talking about taking off her top. You in the car. It don't matter.
I'm on my way.
I'm
sometimes
on my way.
You got to text that, though. We are coming.
No, you don't.
Go.
Sometimes you got to.
Okay,
because what if she
over.
Say.
If it's a we, then while you driving, let the other person text.
That other side.
That's
of
why
we.
You said we
what if,
are.
What if
right.
I handed the text like, hey, man, and I reach back. Hey. Hey, man, see, that's a little bit more dangerous.
That's what's I bet off I do it myself.
Better off.
On the expressway.
Better off I do. Hey, never send a slough to do a grown slough's job.
There you go.
Well.
No, he holding a sign with an R on sloughing.
I never knew.
I used to be top of my class. Now I spell everything with an R.
Really, 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 really bad.
That is
post life,
whatever.
He looks, he
whatever
looks terrible.
Hell
he look like a dude.
If you dumb enough to text and drive, then you, hey, you dumb enough to get the wheelchair.
If you get,
it's
if
not
it's,
that serious.
It's
not
but
that
hey,
over.
If you drink and drive and you lose, what if I drink, drive, and make it home? Do I win?
For now, I guess.
Right.
Okay. For now.
Right. You play
you
the odds.
Play that game. Play that game.
You are for real playing the odds.
Hey.
That's a mess.
Because trust me, when the problem is all the times you win, when you lose, when it really happens,
you lose.
You're going to take that money.
Yeah, you lose
take
everything.
That car.
You gotta,
and,
you
and,
short a couple
and
thousand.
And if you hit that little blonde girl,
what is the...
The one who was running with the posies.
Yep.
And you, yeah.
The Girl Scout.
Yep.
The one who was. Who,
yep. So when
who
you
was
yeah.
one buttercup button away from being head but a Girl Scout.
There you go.
Oh, man.
Yeah. It's tragic.
When it goes, Jack, I'm telling you.
I personally don't drink. That's what I'm saying. I don't drink, so I wouldn't know. I've never had that experience
of
drinking and driving.
Them people who love to play with them guns and show off. It's fun until it goes wrong.
I know somebody.
My mama gonna kill me.
Man, y'all, check this out. Woman discovers her ex-boyfriend living in her attic for 12 years.
Saw that one.
After they broke up.
Yep.
It's over. What do you mean? Okay.
I'm going to read it again.
Toby.
Just in case someone didn't hear that. Woman discovers her ex-boyfriend living in her attic for 12 years after they broke up.
Somebody got to eat.
The ex-boyfriend had just
Mama,
recently
them are some
been
big mice up there.
The ex-boyfriend had just recently been released from prison. There were cups all over the attic full of feces and urine. And he was spying.
Just like your boy who likes to play video games and pee in a cup because the bathroom is just too far away.
That's a mess. Hey. He was spying on the ex-girlfriend through an air vent in her ceiling, and he's still on the loose.
Face all through the ceiling.
When Tracy, a single mother of five, her banging in her attic, she thought it was she thought the worst it could be was an animal or a ghost.
Yeah, a ghost. That's what she came up with.
Amen.
Why does every time I want to pull the bullet out, the ghost make noise?
Don't know. It ain't the ghost.
I ain't asking no questions
on
that.
That's personal. Yeah.
But when she sent her older sons and nephew up to check, they found a man she had broken up with 12 years ago sleeping in her heating unit.
Reggie? It ain't me.
I'm sorry, Candy. Go ahead.
Oh.
Yeah, you're doing up
here. Let me finish.
Nah, I've been quiet. I only said Reggie.
Nah, you ain't.
I said Reggie.
No.
Damn it, it's cold up here. Y'all need some more insulation.
All right, I'm going to reread this because you guys are being jerks. When Tracy, a single mother of five, heard banging in her attic, she thought the worst it could be was an animal or a ghost. But when she sent her older sons and nephew up to check, they found a man she had broken up with 12 years ago sleeping in her heating unit at her home in Rock Hill, Charlotte. The 44-year-old had just been released from prison 2 weeks ago.
He up there breakdance. He up there with the eyeball looking down the peephole.
Tracy, who did not want to be named because her ex-boyfriend is still on the loose, said she last saw him a year ago when he did some odd jobs for her at her home.
Yep.
And so she had letters from him while he was in jail. She made it clear things were over.
Yeah, but he was a light-skinned man who showed up with no shirt on to rake the leaves.
How you doing? My name's Shamar.
Right.
Nah, yeah,
right,
mostly.
Straight out of a Tyler Perry movie.
Yeah, I know I'm a light skinned man, but I will always be light skinned for you if you let me live in your attic.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yep. Let me look at that. Take it off. Take it off. Shower time. Ooh, it's 9:30. She always takes a shower at 9:30.
Wow. Let me move over.
They moving around
in the attic again.
She told the Charlotte Observer that his addiction to drugs and offenses for robbery, including her own truck, meant she was not interested and broke up with him for good 12 years ago.
I didn't steal the truck.
That
I borrowed it.
That was it. I never looked back. Talking about Talking about the night she discovered the man in her house, the nurse said she had a feeling, quote-unquote, something wasn't right. Then she heard a thump coming from the ceiling and noticed things coming loose from the ceiling.
Your things dripping down from the ceiling.
It's called wet juice. Y'all been eating shakes on my ceiling again?
Oh.
She said all the nails just popped out of the ceiling over my bed like bing, bing, bing.
Yep.
I thought there was some poltergeist stuff going on.
It sure was.
That's when she sent the man in her home to check out the attic. They found a man. He had packed all the old coats and jackets into the heating unit and was sleeping in the heating unit, she said, adding that the man ran downstairs out of the house before police could get there.
How did he run downstairs? He's in the attic. He just fell.
Depends on how big the attic is and how you
guess.
Can get up there. Yeah. You can. I personally would have Wesley sniped out the window.
Jumped out.
Passenger 57 right out the window.
Reggie, is that you? Tracy later discovered that her husband had been sneaking into her house, though police were unsure how he managed to do so.
Yeah.
Officers said they found a number of Sonic cups filled with feces and urine.
Whoa, just did a show on that one. I just say, yeah.
Sonic cups.
Filling up.
Sonic.
Why did he?
When did he have time to go to Sonic?
He probably dug it. Yeah, he probably went when she wasn't there. Like, hey, man, I'm hungry. Get
how
some
the
Sonic.
Hell are you doing? How are you getting in there every day?
Which part?
And he only got so
attic.
He got so many cups, man. Can't wait for the kids to go to school so I can go downstairs.
First cup. Yep, police all in that toilet there.
The only entrance to the attic is inside the home in the hall that connects her children's bedroom.
Oh, sweet dreams, kids.
By the time the police arrived, he had already gig.
Just check. Yep. Put that toe in your mouth.
I'm the feces fairy.
Just here to check your booty.
Wow.
All right. And if you guys didn't know, second hour, we will have Jay Ellsworth talking about Black creativity. I know. I just had to say that because people are going to be looking at us funny. Candace.
Yes.
You still talking about the attic guy?
What does?
How long is his life?
By the time police arrived, he had already escaped and is still roaming the neighborhood. Tracy and her children are now afraid to sleep in their own rooms.
You think?
She said, I want him to be charged with it. It could be somebody else. He does the same thing, too. But she might not be so lucky.
There you go. We got to take a real quick break. We'll be back. I'm going to the attic. Truth Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers Radio.
Radio.
It's not about anything else.
Go to your room and lock the door. Cause when you try it once, you won't try it some more.
Try it some more.
Time doesn't matter, and that's a fact. It might be small, but it's a big and bad.
Oh.
Bust a nut, bust a nut. Grab a bag of corn nuts and bust a nut. Lightly dust it and pour it well. Enjoy yourself, we won't tell. Everybody does it, they like it a lot. Just don't get caught. It takes a few minutes if you don't delay. Take your time, make your best all day.
Bust a nut, bust a nut. Grab a bag of cold nuts and bust a nut. Lightly toast it and pour it well.
Enjoy yourself, we won't tell.
Corn nuts, an intensely crunchy corn snack, comes in 7 nut-busting flavors. Bust a nut at a convenience store.
Truth Brothers Radio. Truth Brothers Radio, and we're back after
the attic.
Yeah, corn nuts, your perfect attic snack.
Duh.
And Snickers. Watching your ex-girlfriend for a while.
Grab your Snickers.
And a bag of corn nuts.
Oh, yeah.
This creepy Jason was watching this woman through the air vent.
He just got out of jail, yes.
He was watching her through the air vent in my attic.
Yeah.
In her room.
Whispering to herself.
And she's a single person. So every time she went to the drawer for a little alone time, that's when she heard the poltergeist moving around
in
the attic.
The nails went pink.
Yep.
Bend over and dig in the bottom drawer.
That's what I like.
Duh.
Where's my sex lock? He had a sex lock up there.
Oh, my.
Where is Socko? The sex rock.
It's underneath the jacket. That's
this
nasty.
Is Wilson.
Where's Sticky?
Sticky the sex rock.
That is nasty. As hell.
Okay.
Devon, go. Please, go.
I'm trying to debate here. What are we going to do? All right, we'll do this.
Mercy.
Illegal immigrant tries to enter Spain disguised as a car seat.
There you go.
Talk about taking.
What?
As long as they don't sit here, we're good. Mama knows I'm playing.
Talk about taking illegal border smuggling to the next level. Border guards in Spain caught a man hiding inside of the... Spain?
All right.
It's written in Spanish.
Sex
okay,
box.
There you go. It threw me
off.
Border guards in Spain caught a man hiding inside of the passenger car seat of a rental vault. I don't know what that is. While attempting to illegally enter the country on Friday, the darling illegal entry was attempted by two Moroccans as they crossed the border from Morocco to Malaya.
Yeah, that's code word for dogs.
Yep, a North African enclave. In southern Spain, one man was driving while the other sat in a seat hiding a 20-year-old Ghanaian man.
Another code word.
These are
818-514-120.
Shh, they'll think we leather.
Ooh, the racism.
Fresh leather.
The men almost got away with their creative smuggling ploy until a guard stopped the car and took a closer look. He reported prod at the seat and
that's not armor all.
Open your eyes. I knew it. That's fucking
Oh Lord. This racism is killing me inside.
Oh, you leather dogs are not getting away with another. Get out. I don't care if you're hungry. Get out. He prodded the seat and discovered a live person was hiding in the shell of the seat. According to the Daily Mail, the man was expelled from the enclave after appearing before a judge. The two Moroccans, aged 21 and 23, have been arrested and will be appearing before a judge later this week on smuggling charges.
How do you dress up like a seat? And aren't you worried that someone was going to sit? Wow, okay.
Well, I'm going to sit down. And if you
man,
get
I'm
happy,
tired. What's wrong with this seat?
Why is your seat breathing?
Why is your seat got a prod at the bottom? I don't like your seat. These are them Tyler Perry seats. We don't want those. A police spokesperson who called himself Novel said that we've seen some fairly bizarre attempts to get across the border, but nothing like this before.
Tyler Perry seats, dude.
Tyler Perry seats.
Oh, that's
for that new cross. That new Dodge Cross.
That's messed up.
Wow.
I hate him.
Yeah.
Not Tyler, though. I want to root for him, like I said, but go ahead.
All right. Man broke into a trailer and smeared poop-filled underwear on another man's face for not letting him borrow rent money. Getting hot out there. I don't know what to
say. I
want to
live in your attic.
Right.
That's pretty shitty.
It is.
Really, Candace?
Yeah, it is.
Tell me. He didn't just say that.
Well, you said it.
Okay.
I mean, I'm just saying.
Walter Little tried to get some sleep in his camper on Saturday afternoon. Instead, he got a face full of dirty underwear.
Oh.
I wouldn't want that.
Yeah.
Don't make me feel good on the inside.
Yeah. Sheriff's office arrested Johnny Wade Brosteller, 46, and charged him with battery for allegedly tacking Little, 60, with a pair of soiled underwear about 4 p.m. Saturday.
Here's my problem real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Real quick, I got to...
Yeah.
What's with all the old people going crazy though, man? Like
that's asshole.
Yeah, but they do. I thought the salts was a young drug.
No, it's for everybody. Very accessible.
Like,
get at your local gas station. I don't know. Drinking all that Milwaukee's Best just gets to you.
I don't know. Yeah, I'm just because it's just these older guys. Like you're 46, man. Why are you putting your drawers on people's doors you don't wipe your back? Like, people.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Hey. I got you.
My brain hurts from this.
Right. Brostella walked into a camper while Little slept, and excuse me, and started demanding money for the landlord. Little woke up
and the men started arguing. The dispute turned physical when Bro Stella grabbed the dirty underwear and smeared it on Little's face.
So you're not going to give me the rent, is what you're saying?
No, I need it for myself.
All right.
Why are you taking your pants off?
Nah, you're going to see. Let me turn these inside out. I don't wipe well.
Oh, my God.
But wait.
The underwear was full of poop. And he was trying to wipe it all over me, Little said Monday.
I didn't hold.
You rubbed that chocolate all over me.
I would have beat
Little.
Oh, my God.
Little pushed Bro Stella away and shoved the underwear back in Bro Stella's face.
Here you go.
How do you like it?
Oh, my God.
The fight spilled out into Little's driveway, where a neighbor broke up the dispute. I wouldn't have jumped in that fight for
hey,
nothing.
Hey, put your drawers on.
That's
put your drawers
y'all.
And keep your drawers on. Why are y'all taking your drawers off?
When the cops came by, both Ben was covered in poop. And they said Little never tried to wash it off. This is evidence.
Yep.
Exhibit A.
So wait a minute. Dude, come by.
Yeah.
First of all, it's premeditated. You're premeditated
carrying it in your pants just in case he tells, because I know he's known
so
to tell me no.
Okay, so he
yeah.
So he took his underwear off at dude's house, or he came to his house
with it? Let's remember, Little was asleep. Dude is asleep, so he came in and probably just, you know how you go over an argument in your head to be prepared?
They live in the same house.
No, he came to his trailer.
To get some money.
To get some money for the rent for, I guess, his trailer.
And dude said no.
And dude said no. Woke him up. Hey, man, can you lend me that $500?
Or that $250, because I don't have that double wide with your fancy living.
I hate. Just to say the Brown Hornet strikes again.
Dude. Yeah.
And he says no. So he gets mad. And takes the other, and then turns it inside out so we can make sure you can see what's going to happen.
You know, my problem with the whole situation is, man. You know what my problem with the whole, because I tried to keep quiet.
Yeah, go ahead.
Here's my thing.
You let somebody
in your face. Like, you better not. Oh, and while he's smushed, you just gonna keep smushing it in my face.
You didn't think to move or run. What are you doing? Get away from me.
I'm gonna let you do it.
I saw P. I moved.
I'm gonna let you do it.
She saw P. She stayed.
Exactly. And it's worth, you watched him. Don't you take your drawers off.
Why are you doing that?
Don't you flip them inside out.
Dude.
Okay, so you just gonna sit here.
You ain't gonna kick your.
Nah, keep doing it, because I'm calling the police.
And I ain't moving.
I'm not going to move.
They broke the fight up, and probably some neighbors came with a, get that washcloth away from me.
Nope.
I want them to see this.
I'm calling the authorities. I'm calling the authorities, and they both sitting there full of doo-doo on them.
They
both, your officers, I know this look crazy. Let me tell you what happened.
It's not my fault.
I know I'm covered and he's covered because I had to put it back on him. Let me tell you what happened, right? I took my drawers off. He took his off. We didn't have a plan of doing anything sexual. So I rubbed mine. He rubbed his. And then that's how it is. And we both sitting here smelling. So what you going to do?
Arrest him. No, this is my house.
Well, so you got to let him put it in your face. I mean.
I don't want to hear you talk. Just put the man in cuffs.
That's a mess.
There you go. 818-514-1202.
Is there any more to that story?
Isn't that enough?
I mean.
The whole thing just smells.
Like shit.
Imagine being a cop on the scene. I would have just shot them both.
Nah, man, dude. If I was a cop on the scene, look, after I got done being astounded, like, so you stood here.
Yes, ma'am.
All
That's
the time.
Right. Yes, ma'am.
I went to Krispy Kreme, got a donut and some coffee from Starbucks,
and
I came here, and you
Well, ma'am, let me ask you this,
oh, yeah.
You
got the shit face.
Oh, yeah, Grown Soul is into the building, too. What up, Grown Soul?
He
hit him with it. Let me ask you this, ma'am, before you go any farther. Did any man ever try to put his drawers in your face? No, ma'am. All right, then. So now you don't know my pain.
Right. You don't know what it looks.
No, I don't.
All right,
no, didn't try to move or
dodge
it?
No, ma'am, because he's done this before. These are the third pair of fruits I done had in my face.
And you just have to stand
your
ground.
Exactly.
You have to stand your ground.
Hey, we live in Florida.
Spears right. Will stand your ground
this
long.
Florida.
No, nah, I'm just.
Oh, I'm about to say another Florida.
Well, actually, if it was, then he would have been standing his ground technically. So, I guess it wouldn't really matter. So, yeah, whatever. Dude, just.
That's
he,
a mess.
I
yeah.
just. The whole. I just.
It's
I don't like the whole.
The whole thing is awful.
You did. Now, here's the thing. It's either one or two options. This is what I was trying to get to. Either he came to the house with the drawers in his hand.
Right.
Or he took his drawers off in front
that's
of you
what
while they were arguing about the money.
And he's loosely. So you're not going. And he's taking his belt off.
Right.
So you're not going to give me the money.
Why you got to be so selfish?
You know what? I had a whole box of Cheerios, extra sugar in them. And you're not going to give me the money? No problem.
I
don't
change
with.
Mine.
Oh, my God.
Well, whatever. Look here. I got these Sprudies, and they are going to, yeah, they're going to convince you.
Well, it's either give me the money or I'm in your attic.
I threw up in my mouth a little bit.
There you go. I tend to not want to listen to it, but that's just me.
Yeah, that's gross. All right.
What you
got? Oh, just as stupid. He said smear tactics.
Yep.
Exactly. Okay, my next story. Florida couple caught having sex while driving on I-95, quote unquote, tailed the car that spotted them and threatened the driver with a gun.
Well, I don't see no problem.
You looking? Yeah. Really? Following the other car with a gun because they seen you?
Oh, no. Oh, what? I thought they was just having the sex on the 50s. I heard sex on roll in car and just
uh-huh.
shut off after that.
I said it here.
Okay, go
Florida
ahead.
Couple caught having sex while driving on I-95. Tell the car that spotted them and threatens the driver with a gun.
Okay, now that's stupid. Yeah, I get it.
A frisky Florida couple got in legal trouble when drivers saw them having sex in a car while cruising down a state highway.
What kind of sex?
Really don't matter.
Really?
Because
the 8-year-old that found them was confused enough.
You feel me?
She's sleepy.
How do you...
No,
she's happy.
Or she's laying down in his lap. She's sleepy.
Why is she bouncing like that?
Wow.
That's her favorite song.
There's bad springs in the car, honey.
The incident escalated when the couple realized that the neighboring car saw them mid-coitus, proceeded to tell their spectators, and then approached them while holding a gun. Suzanne Walker, 31, was allegedly performing oral sex on Ernest Gonzalez, 27, while he was behind the wheel of his SUV and driving down I-95 on Sunday afternoon.
What a great Sunday.
Lewis Carr, who was also driving on the busy highway with his girlfriend and 3-year-old son,
see?
When they spotted
going
Walker
to a picnic.
And Gonzalez in the compromising position. I point to my old lady, Walker, looked across me.
And say, why can't you
time.
Be more like her?
I point to my old lady, which is Walker, mm-hmm. looked across me about that time. She jumped up in the seat, bare butt, mooned us through the window, Mr. Carr said. Mr. Carr told WJX-TV.
That's living.
That's Florida.
Mr. Carr and his girlfriend, Kristen Broman, continued to watch the couple. Then Gonzalez saw that they had spectators. He proceeded to follow Mr. Carr as he drove to his parents' bar, called the Redneck County Club in Yulee, a suburb of Jacksonville.
The Redneck County Club.
Country Club.
Well, Obama's not famous.
There you go.
Security footage from the bar shows that Gonzalez almost runs Mr. Carr off the road as he follows him into the parking lot.
How dare you look
you know,
at what we're doing on
I'm
the freeway.
I'm going to put it like this real quick. He wasn't chasing that dude. He was just coming to that spot. And he, like,
oh,
and he couldn't grip that wheel.
A little beef and taco, new method of driver.
Man, hey.
Mommy, what is
he killing me, boy?
I don't think he was too upset. I just think he.
What was the gun for?
Because that's the only thing he could. Ooh, I'm finna go there.
Yeah.
Hey,
go
don't
ahead,
you
kid.
Grab? Don't you grab me? You grab your gun. Let off a desk pop.
We didn't think they were going to pull all the way in because they stopped at the
oh,
gate.
Oh, yeah.
And then
I
guess,
gotta finish off. And
then
I'm gonna
guess
shoot these
they decided
knuckles.
They were still going to come in. And they came in all the way. That's when the cops were called and everything went crazy, Ms. Broman told WJX-TV. At that point, Walker and Gonzalez got out of their car and approached Mr. Carr's vehicle. He could see that Walker was holding a semi-automatic handgun. Though there was some confusion when the two couples spoke in the parking lot, this woman says that Walker thought that they had taken pictures of the couple in the act, which they did not. Walker and Gonzalez left the parking lot after a bar employee told Walker that the establishment did not allow guns.
Hey, buddy.
They were later arrested at their Fernandina Beach home.
I don't see the problem until they grab the gun. That man does,
how dare he take a picture of us doing something on the
in
road.
Public. In that, public. See, that's the part
for
I don't
kids.
Get. You know, but hey.
Florida.
That, everybody has their own little wild ways. And I'm if that's what you do and you and your woman is into that, knock yourself out. I don't condemn you for it, but I believe more or less she pulled a trick on him and he couldn't handle it and he just started swerving. He just said, "Oh girl, pop down." Ah, yeah. Where we at? The Redneck Lounge. Okay. I did it as PG as I could.
I guess.
I did it as PG as I
Wow.
Be, hey man, I'm if you would like it, go ahead. Florida robbery victim finds his attackers on Facebook.
There it is.
All right.
Holding his stuff.
This dude's name was, we'll get to that. But anyway, Facebook has been known for reconnecting family members, old friends, and random acquaintances. But Sam Drummond of Delray Beach, Florida, used a social media tool to find the thugs who lured him into an armed robbery. On September 8th, a man Drummond, knew as Jean Jacques, called him and his newly opened cell phone shop asking if he could sell him an iPhone. The man had sold Drummond an iPhone several weeks earlier, and he seemed nice, so the request seemed legit. Drummond's shop, Palm Tech, has been struggling since it opened 6 months ago, and he was looking for any business he can get at that point. It turned out to be a big mistake. Jean-Jacques asked the cell phone shop order for a lift, because he didn't have a car on the day of the deal. On the day of the deal, Drummond drove to the address and gave him Palm Beach Plantation Mobile Park, whatever. This is the spot that he gave. He gave him a lift to the spot.
To the plantation.
There you go. He had to head in on that direction to eat and deposit $22,000 in the bank in the area. So the trip didn't take him out of his way. Drummond rolled up around 3:30 p.m. and parked his car in front of a park management office. Jean-Jacques walked up to the and got in the car. "Wait a few minutes," Jean-Jacques said. "I need to get the phone." Drummond then looked in the rearview mirror and sensed something was wrong.
He went to go get this phone, but he got $22,000 in his pocket to go drop off.
No, he got $2,000.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I thought he said 22 too.
I'm sorry. I meant $2,000 at the bank. "I really got suspicious when I saw the guy peeking from behind the bushes."
Yes, thing. Didn't put it in drive and drive away, though.
Minutes later, Jean-Jacques returned and got back in the car. Drummond then heard the back door open, and he felt the barrel of a pistol dig in the back of his head.
There you go.
It was the man from the bushes. And he's in the attic. And he wasn't playing around. "I'll blow you away," the man said. "This is a robbery," Jean-Jacques said. "You're going to give us all your shit." That's what it says.
What? Drummond,
he said, the dude said, Jean-Jacques said, "You're going to give us all your shit."
All of it.
Nah, not them. Put your drawers on. Drummond said he thought about how terrible it would be to die right there. He forked over his cell phone and the wallet holding the $2,000. After filing a report with the police, Drummond went on Facebook, did his own investigation. He searched Jean-Jacques but found only dead ones, of course. Then he typed in the number the man had given him on the profile name.
Well, there you go.
And the profile name was Crime Pays Zodala.
Wow. Wow.
From Lake Worth.
He didn't have to be much of a detective, did he?
The profile photo looked just like the man who lured him into the trailer park. Drummond then searched Lake Worth and Jean-Jacques and found a mugshot of the 19-year-old Billy Jean-Jacques from the previous arrest. Again, the photos matched. He eventually found the suspect's information, Jonathan Coleman, 20, of Lake Florida, via Twitter. He, too, has prior arrests. I had both guys at that point, Drummond said. Cell phone shop owner identified the man in a photo lineup after detectives called him into the station, and they were cuffed and cuffed the suspects, and they cuffed the suspects the next day. They are being held in Palm Beach County Jail on robbery charges. I think these guys tend to be candidates for the worst, dumbest criminals.
You ain't got much room to talk there, buddy.
You got a calling card on Facebook.
Not,
what was it again? Crime pays.
Crime pays Zoe Dollars.
Zoe Dollars?
Zoe, Z-O-E Dollars. Wait, here's how it's spelled.
Zoe Dollars.
C-R-Y-M-E-P-A-Y-Z-Z-O-E-D-O-L-L-A-Z. Crime pays Zoe Dollars. And dude's profile picture is him on a couch holding his middle finger and the iPhone.
There it is.
There you have it.
And his occupation is chef at Whipping That White in the Kitchen. That's what it is. Are you serious? I am not playing.
Are you serious?
It says occupation chef at Whipping That White in the Kitchen.
That's
And who eats that? Florida.
Now, you know what
you
that
know
is,
what?
Right?
You know what Whipping That White is.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's that snuff.
Yeah.
There you go.
Nose candy.
Yeah.
Little booger sugar. There you go.
Yeah.
What do we use?
I ain't got nothing
lots
to say.
And lots of baking soda.
every dish got baking soda. Whipping is W-I-O-U-P-I-N apostrophe. It's D-A-T white.
Because I put apostrophe in there to be grammatically correct.
W-Y-T for white.
Yeah. W-Y-T in the kitchen.
In that there you go.
Whipping That White in the Kitchen.
With your iPhone. Boy, I don't know what to tell you.
That's almost like dude that wore a crack jacket
but
to court.
There you go. This goes right into our second hour topic, black creativity.
How
come people who Whipping That White gets all the pub, but people who try to be creative have to struggle? Just not fair.
Nothing's
not right.
Fair. Nothing's fair right now.
But we're going to have our special guest, our author J.L. Woodson, who is very creative.
No doubt.
Very successful. I can't wait. I'm going to ask him about that. That could be the name of his next book.
Yep.
Whipping That White.
In the Kitchen. No Rake Whips.
That might be that sound like the plot to that Alex Cross movie.
Alex Cross dressing.
That is so messed
up. That could be, Alex Cross. I mean, Purses by Alex Cross.
There you go.
There you go.
Who took Jesus' sweat off?
Now in cashmere.
All right.
He was cold.
So we're gonna get into all of that with our J.L. Woodson. Hang tight, Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I hear voices in my head. They count to me. They understand. They talk to me.
Truth Brothers Radio.
We have a flat tire.
How do I tie a bow tie again?
What's the fastest way to Hartford Hospital?
Tell my wife I'm going to be 30 minutes late.
Tell my husband I'm not surprised.
Tell my wife if she has a problem with my work schedule, she's more than welcome to get a job of her own.
Tell my husband that I do just as much work as he does.
Tell my wife that if watching Ellen is a job, she should get a promotion.
Message from your husband. I appreciate you.
Bullshit. What did he actually say?
Please don't drag me into this.
Siri, call my husband.
Siri, ignore the call from my bitch wife.
Tell my husband that he said he'd respect my choice to stay at home with our child.
Tell my wife I would, but she can't even get around to washing his overalls.
Did you want me to search for flower shops nearby?
Tell my husband that at least when I sit on the washing machine, I come.
Send my wife this picture and ask her if the washing machine is
the only thing you've been sitting on lately. Oh, dear.
Ask my husband what he means by that.
Tell my wife I think she knows.
Hey, look. I googled anger management techniques.
Tell my husband to think very carefully before he says whatever he's about to say.
Ask my wife if she's fucking Jim McPherson.
Tell my husband how dare he.
Tell my wife that's not an answer.
Is it my fault?
Tell my husband that I will not answer that.
Ask my wife if she's fucking Jim McPherson.
Searching for a place to hide.
Tell my husband he wishes it was just Jim McPherson.
I don't want to.
Tell him.
Please don't make me.
Do it.
Send my wife directions to hell.
Yeah!
Say goodbye to the most amazing iPhone yet.
Truth Brothers, Truth Brothers Radio. Welcome to the second hour of Truth Brothers. I'm Ray.
And I'm Devon.
And we are the Truth Brothers. The number to give us a call is 818-514-1202. That's 818-514-1202.
And as always, you guys can hit us up at our email at wewanttruth@att.net. Truth is spelled T-R-U-F.
And I am in the chat room for your questions and comments.
Right
and
on.
And jokes.
Yeah, McPherson's washing machine. Get your wife clean.
I don't want an iPhone at all. Hey. I don't want Siri. I don't want
Siri to catch you up. I'm
yes,
sorry.
You will.
Yeah.
And this portion of Truth Brothers is brought to you by Terrell Owens, first round draft pick condoms, perforated for her ambitions. Send in 10 proofs of purchase and get a free gold digger turkey baster.
That turkey baster can come in handy for those who want it. But anyway, yeah. Man, we got to get real, like we said, the second hour conversation will be about black creativity. And with that being said, we got to get into our special guest for the second hour. Now, I could go through dudes' accolades real, and it'll take me like a long time, literally. Like,
give him some, though.
I got to give him a few. Now,
man,
check it out.
Bad.
First off, this dude right now, he resides and goes to South Carolina State University. His first book was published at 15.
Right.
Just to make everybody feel bad.
His first book, The Things I Could Tell You, was published at 15. He was the co-author of How to Win the Publishing Game at 16. He wrote another novel at 17 called Breaking the Cycle. And at 19... Superwoman's child, son of a single mother. Some of his awards, just some. Some of this dude's awards include.
He's not 20. He can't drink yet.
No, he can drink.
When he wrote.
Oh, yeah, when he wrote that.
Couldn't even drink yet. So the part two of the things I could tell you now that I can drink.
Right, that's the second part of the book he's writing right now. He also, some of his awards, I just go through a few real quick. Fisk University's Talented 10th Award, MGCA's Best Young Author Award, Coca-Cola, Clear Channel, State Farm Insurance, and McDonald's Youth Leadership Award.
Wow.
And he's working on his next novel, Circle Until You Land. Boy, you've been around the world 4 times, so it's what are you waiting on? Just come down, give us folk a chance, man. Like, but actually, real quick, I went to high school with this dude, real cool, real humble, real smart guy, man. I want you guys to give it up for the special guest of the second hour, Mr. J.L. Woodson. What's going on, bro?
What's going on, man?
How you feeling?
Man, just over here dying laughing from y'all first half of the segment.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it don't matter.
That's crazy because I'm dying crying from all your accomplishments, so it balanced out, right?
I'm saying. While we were sitting there going through his accomplishments, he won two other awards.
Right. He's just, oh, yeah, sorry about that. I they just mailed them to me.
Right.
You know, you forgot.
Right. Don't forget his latest book, I'm a Winner and You're a Damn Loser.
No, his new book, Charlie Sheen watches me.
Right.
That new book, Charlie Sheen watches me.
Tiger's blood my ass.
God, man.
I'm sorry, dear.
God, dude, man. I
every week with these two.
Man, I had to give it up to this dude, man. This is a real, real, really cool dude. Like, you were
16, man.
Yeah.
16.
I was telling.
I feel bad for you because you in the lunchroom like, man, look at that girl. Man, ain't she fine? I don't know, man. I'm on the third chapter of my book here.
Right.
But, you know,
as I go get this published. Yeah. Back in the day, he looked down upon us small folks.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
We're going to get to you, man.
I did not do that, bro.
Yeah, he said, yeah, you can go and continue dunking your basketball, sir. I'll be writing my 16th.
The principal, every time the class changed out, the principal made all y'all get on the ground so he can walk on y'all back on the way to class. Yeah.
Excuse me, no need to get this man's moccasins dirty. Everybody down, Mr. Woodson's here. That's
But you are the perfect person for this topic of black creativity because, brother, you're creative as hell.
No doubt.
It's a lost art now, and I mean I have to say hats off to you, sir. I think with all your accomplishments, I think it's wonderful things that you're doing.
But real quick, one quick thing before we get into this whole topic, man. Like we was there when you were handing out the first book, The Things I Could Tell You, and you know that was crazy. Yeah, you remember all of us being there, but. On the real, that Superwoman's Child, man, that joint was hot. That was I encourage everybody who has not had the chance to go read that book that he wrote called Superwoman's Child, Son of a Single Mother. Man, it's a good read, man. Now, real quick, just give him a real quick summary of that book, really, really fast, man. Give him a real quick, you know, the backstory of that book.
Well, main gist of it is how I made it out my mom's house. Even in the first chapter, like the first word is run. So you kind of get get the gist of it there. But it was a dedication to my mother because she's the one who helped me through all that. Like we focus on a lot of things, like our father isn't there, you know, stuff isn't going right, but we don't pay attention to the people that are actually in our lives helping us to become better people. So I dedicated that mother to my book. I mean, that book to my mother, and then it just went off like clockwork. Everybody just started soaking it up.
Yeah, no doubt.
Cool. Now let me ask you something. At 16, seriously, how hard was it to find a publisher?
It wasn't necessarily that hard because, like, first I started out self-published because. You know, like, the main thing back then was my marketability. Like, my age was my market. There weren't many people or really anybody writing at 16 or even published at 16. So when I came out with that, like, back then it was a little bit harder because, you know, they were only soaking in, you know, the Eric Jerome Dickies, Mary B. Larson, Elena Kyes, all that type of stuff. So, but, my mom... basically put like she found out that I could write because I originally went to TF North before I went to Olive Harvey Middle College. Mm-hmm. And then they got a copy of my short story that I wrote in English class. And that short story turned out to be my 7 pages, my first chapter of my book.
Wow.
And so from there, they actually thought all that domestic violence was actually going on in my home. None of that stuff was happening in my house, but I was able to write about it because, you know, it's different when you can actually visualize something happening.
Right.
And then so you just write about it and just do your research on it because you say one wrong thing, everybody eats you alive. But for the most part, I mean, it wasn't that difficult, but especially since I had the right people in my corner.
Right. Now, when we're talking about creativity and black creativity in particular, man, do you feel like there's people who try to hurt you into a particular direction or try to get you to maybe dumb down some of your topics or get you to just to try to make it more mainstream or stereotypical for people?
Honestly, in some ways, yes. Like when you go to like a major publishing house, they may ask you to change your content around to suit what they think would be a good market for different people. Now, I don't mind selling my books to the white folk. Don't mind that at all. Take all their money, I don't care. But at the same time, I want to keep it as close to me as possible, like as close to my voice. Like, I'm not new.
Right,
I'm
right.
far, far, far from hood. But at the same time, I do enough. If I do the research, like, I didn't necessarily grow up, you know, on the lakefront in Chicago my whole life. I grew up in the Mint.
Right.
Therefore, it wasn't all, you know, daisies and sunshine and birds chirping.
No, never in Jeffrey Manor. No,
right.
Sir.
True. But the thing is, like, a lot of people tend to forget, you don't have to be hood to be authentic and real about what goes on in the hood.
Exactly.
You know, matter of fact, that makes it more authentic because you're not playing to a stereotype. You're just trying to keep it authentic and as real as possible.
Yeah, I mean, you got to take the reader through that journey. Like, even if you've never been someplace, like my first book was technically set in Memphis, Tennessee. I've only been there a couple of times out of my whole life, so I don't know everything that's in Memphis, Tennessee. But I was still able to write about it.
Mm-hmm.
It still was able to, you know, get good feedback from it.
Right.
So at the same time, I mean, you can't tell me that. That's almost like telling a parent that they can't teach their child how to do their ABCs.
Dig that. Yeah, we are here with fantastic and accomplished author J.L. Woodson. We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to get deeper into this topic of black creativity and what it takes to try to be all to be creative and yet keep it authentic and fresh and not
yourself.
Fall. There you go. That's right. And we want everybody to get in on this conversation. So 818-514-1202. This is True Brothers Radio.
You know how we do, Rockefeller, forever.
Truth Brothers Radio.
Catch me skating through your town, putting it down. Y'all relating? No waiting. I'll make your block infrared hot. I'm like Satan. Y'all feel a nigga struggle? Y'all think a nigga luddle? Hustle behind the wheel, trying to escape my trouble. Can't stop the greeting me. I'm talking sweet the keys, cursing the very.
What's up, everybody? This is Devon from Truth Brothers Radio. Thanking you guys for making the show the success it is today. Without you, there is no truth. We are expanding our network daily, so be sure to catch up with all the latest Truth Brothers info, show topics, and questions at our Facebook page, Twitter, MySpace, iTunes, or by subscribing to our YouTube channel. There, you can also leave your comments and show ideas. Once again, thank you for supporting our truth. Keep thinking.
Truth Brothers Radio. True Brothers Radio, and we're back. And we're back with our noted author, J.L. Woodson. And what Grown Soul is kind of telling us right now is that the Jamarcus Webb Quarterback Protection Agency is up and running. If I can't hold them, I can't stop them.
There you go. Now that's creative. But we are like Big Brother was saying, we're here with J.L. Woodson, man. I had a quick question, man. Before we get into the co-creativity thing, what are a few of your inspirations? Like, who did you admire from either teachers or any other authors, or who did you look up, or who would you say that you idolized, I guess, when it comes to your work?
Let's see. Back then, most of all the teachers at OHMC pretty much, you know, I looked up to, like Miss Muhammad, especially like with her poetry and everything like that.
Right.
Like, I remember just hearing a couple of her pieces and everything like that, and like she's real soulful lady, and she's a very great poet. My mother, of course, because, you know, she started writing before I did, and she's been on Essence bestseller list and everything like that.
Wow.
So I looked up to her. Like, she came out with her book when I was out in TF North. She told me not to take the book to school. And then because she signs under a pen name because just to protect me, but I'm the main one pubbing her book, like, hey, this is my mama.
Right,
and
right.
Then, wow. And then, of course, you got, I had Travis Hunter. He was a guy that I was reading back then. Mary B. Morrison, I was reading her stuff back then. I couldn't really read Zane because, you know, I was too young for that.
There you go.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, you read Zane's books after a while, man. You need a cigarette or something, man. It's, like, for real.
Right.
Real quick, have you ever read one of Zane's joints? As
actually,
he slowly
no.
crushed the inside of my leg, I seem the thriving of my back muscle. And you just, that's, but.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've, the only thing I've seen is the softcore porn that they be having on it. I think it was Cinemax or something from his stuff.
Showtime, I think so.
Yeah, whatever. Maybe. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Either way.
By Zane. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Let me ask you this. In high school, I mean, what could the English teacher tell you, man? could she put any red marks on your paper? You slap her with a book.
Well, I mean, the English teacher that we had, what was it, Mr. Reynolds?
Mr. Reynolds. Good dude.
I don't want to say he was very condescending, but at the same time, like, I knew that the book part kind of got on his nerves a little bit, probably.
Yeah.
Hey, man, what are you talking about, dangling participles, man? Have you been published? You need to shut the hell up.
Matter of fact, come here. Come
like
here.
You need to pay me for
right.
Your
matter
class.
Of fact, let me show you. Let me see your manuscript, son. Oh man, you all messed up.
Right.
I didn't necessarily feel the respect from him until after, like, I graduated. After I graduated, and then I started seeing him on the streets or something like that. You know,
yeah.
Then it was like it wasn't as he didn't sound have that condescending tone, but I mean. I learned quite a bit from him while I was in high school. I just felt like he was, trying to look down at somebody sometimes. Maybe that's how I just took it. But, like, even my English teacher back in TF North, he couldn't really tell me anything, honestly. Like, most of this stuff my mom educated me on. And she stayed educating me on that part because she's had me, like, throughout the summer, had me doing worksheets.
Yep, that's
and,
right.
Like, reading books left and right. That was my job one summer.
Wow. So was she your biggest critic?
Honestly, yeah. Besides the book club and everything like that, and or the editors. Most of the time, you get your manuscript back, and it looked like somebody just shot their period right on your manuscript, all that red ink and everything.
Damn.
I just had a baby on his manuscript.
Oh, wow.
Oh, man, that is, you are fitting in quite well over here, man.
Right. So let me ask you this. Have you thought about doing, like, screenplays or anything for the theater?
Screenplays are a different kind of evil. Like, there's a different format. Like, I'm not going to limit myself to just books or anything like that. Like, screenplays might be in the future. Like, I definitely want my books to turn into a movie one day or even a play.
Right, right.
So,
yeah,
I'm not going to limit myself.
Yeah, so, you know, no, we got an idea, man. You should write a book about like mystery solving radio hosts who go around solving mysteries, and we pull the head off the villain. Oh, look, it's Jesse Jackson.
That's right. Oh my God!
Oh, I'd have got away with it too if it wasn't for Obama and you radio hosts.
Like a Scooby Doo type deal.
Yeah.
With a dog, Garfield.
Did they not warn you before you came?
I've listened to the show quite a few times.
Right.
So I already know I was going to laugh.
With
the pig foot eating dog, Garfield.
Yep. But. Real quick, man, I got to ask you a question, man. Growing up in Jeffrey Manor, man, probably one of the toughest areas in Chicago, outside of the West Side, of course. I mean, I know was it hard to stay away from all the negativity that you were surrounded by outside of, I mean, was writing like your escape from reality, or was it just like, you know, is that like your way of staying away from all the negativity? I guess that's my way of asking.
Well, I mean, for the most part, like Jeffrey Manor at that time wasn't, like, I didn't know really what was going on as much. Like, my grandmother and my mother basically kept me inside sometimes because we weren't sure what was going to happen outside. You can never guarantee that. Especially nowadays, I'm in South Carolina. I'm hearing left and right about killings in Chicago, and I'm not even there. But with the whole writing deal, I mainly write because, you know, I got a creative mind. Why not use it? I'm able to put words to paper, and where people will understand it, people may laugh, people may cry, or people may just even just relate. But as far as myself, like, getting into the whole writing situation, it wasn't something that I was prepared to do at the time, but once somebody saw that talent in me, I took it a little bit more serious. I started, you know, reading up on everything. I started, finding out different ways, like, what is my comfortable writing setting? Like, I can't write unless I have an instrumental in the background. Like, somebody's, like, Common, like, something from Common or Kanye West, like, one of their instrumentals. And it's almost like I'm writing my own lyrics to their own songs.
Wow. Now, if that ain't creativity, man.
I feel them on that, though.
Yeah,
I feel them on that. Let me ask you one question. When you put your books out there, what type of response are you trying to invoke from your reader? I mean, what do you want them to grasp from your writing?
For the most part, I just want them to mainly catch a message, like, especially dealing with my last book, Superwoman's Child, Son of a Single Mother. Mainly, you know, my books go from anybody from sixth grade and up can read it. So I write to that age group and up. So anybody that takes away from that book is basically, you know, they take away funny moments too, like stuff that happened in my life, but at the same time, they pretty much gather, you know, just because you don't have that father figure right there doesn't mean you should abandon the people that are there supporting you.
You're right. You're right.
Or wow. Even the first book, The Things I Could Tell You, domestic violence. There's nothing wrong with running away. Like, you notice a lot of people stay in those domestic violence situations because either they're scared or in their mind they think that they're, you know, they can change the person that's actually beating the crap out of them. Not going to happen. Like, we see from the outside looking in. But, like, once they actually see their own situation through somebody else's writing or somebody else's pictures or whatever, later on they might actually get the gist. Like, I don't need to stay here. I don't need to take this. Mm-hmm. Just march on out that front door.
Yeah, and like we were saying, we are here chatting with J.L. Woodson, noted everything. I will go through his accomplishments again, but like I said, it's only a 2-hour show. So, man, real quick, Olive Harvey, one of the craziest places we ever been, man. And it's honestly like you were one of them guys. You know, marched your own beat. You had your own style, your own flavor, or whatever. whatever like that. And what, how hard is it to like stay true to yourself without falling into the peer pressure of everything that we were going through at that time? How hard is it to keep your creative juices and everything and staying away from all the stuff that could have deterred you and made you go another direction, I guess? What kept you grounded?
For the most part, I would say after I started thinking for myself, like as far as, like, you don't have to be with this crowd. You don't have to be with these people over here. Like, I mean, I remember Devon mostly hung out with all just basketball players from what I remember. So, like, me for myself, I had to, you know, identify with who I'm okay with, who I'm comfortable with, which was Aaron Hester, Chris Irvin, and it was a couple other people, but they were mostly like sophomores. But right. Those are the type of people that I mostly hang around that you might actually see in my books. Like, there's a couple of things in Superwoman Shout. Some people might actually recognize themselves in my book because, we say it's fiction, but fiction has to come from somewhere sometimes. It has to come from some reality. So when I was writing Superwoman Shout, I take note and mental note of what I saw in that school, what I did going to the school, what I did coming home. I mean, I separated myself from a lot of different people. Like, granted, Olive Harvey wasn't the best school when it came to, like, the crowd of people that was there. But, you know, we all graduated, and we all had a different mindset, at least by the time we left up out of there.
Exactly, yeah, like, no doubt.
Before then, like, hate to say it, at TF North, I wasn't doing that well as I did at Olive Harvey. I was the person at Olive Harvey that made straight ups. I mean, TF North that made straight ups. The only thing I passed was lunch, of course, and what's the thing? Study
gym?
Hall or music.
Oh.
No, I ain't bad. I ain't so too comfortable wearing a small short.
Right. But
think about it is once I got to Olive Harvey, that changed my mindset. And that was the school that most supported me through my writing career, with Ms. Hawkins, Mr. Jones, Ms. Muhammad, basically everybody there. Like, when y'all came through borders and other schools came through borders, and I sold at least 700 copies of my book that one day, that was probably, like, the best feeling in the world. And the next thing after that, once the Superwoman Child was nominated for an NAACP Image Award, I took my mother to the red carpet.
Yeah.
I don't know anybody at night.
No, I was telling everybody, the picture of him and his mom at the NAACP Image Awards is on his page. Yeah, it's a beautiful picture, man. I had to give you the props on that. That's a beautiful thing right there.
Indeed.
Yeah, but hold on, hold your thought, man. 1 second, we got to take another quick break, man. We'll be right back to you, and we'll be right back to everybody else. Truth Brothers Radio.
Truth Brothers Radio.
I don't even know what that means.
No one knows what it means, but it's provocative.
No, it's not. It
gets the people going.
Hello, this is Candace, producer of Truth Brothers Radio, here to inform you of a global epidemic that has afflicted millions of people throughout the ages, FUD, fucked up dome disease. It starts at birth and progressively gets worse as the person ages. Everyday people that you know suffer from FUD, like that guy at the grocery store, that girl that you work with. That weird kid that rides your school bus every day.
Oh, look at his head.
People that you know and love. Admit it. There is definitely someone you know and love who suffers from FUD. Famous celebrities such as Tyra Banks,
Reggie Miller, Ray Allen, Forrest Whitaker, Steven Seagal, Val Kilmer, Rosie O'Donnell, Paula Dean, are plagued with having FUD. Many FUD sufferers live in denial by stating that they just have a lot on their mind, but it's simply not true. For just 72 cents a day, you can help control FUD by providing these FUD victims with the necessary items, such as extra large hats,
helmets, scarves,
paper bags, to help these people cope with this incurable disease. Won't you help support Truth Brothers in our never-ending fight to control FUD and make a difference by calling 888-BIG-HEAD. That's 888-244-4323. Stop staring. Start caring. FUD. Just give a damn.
Why do our kids have FUD?
I'd like to make a request.
What you want here, baby?
Truth Brothers Radio.
Brothers Radio. We're back, and we're back with noted author J.L. Woodson. And yeah, man, while you are, have you ever wrote a book, ever thought about writing a book of like a type of tragedy of like people with FUD or something like that?
Oh my, no. When did I come up with this stuff, man?
Creativity, man.
Oh my goodness, man.
Creativity, man. Right. We got to, every time we just sit back, we put our hands together, open them, and look at the rainbow and say, imagination. That's it. And then it's the ideas just flow.
There you go. Let me ask you something, man. Is there a genre in writing that you are been tempted to tackle, like maybe fantasy or, you know, something like that?
I thought about fantasy or sci-fi, but I don't know. We'll see how that goes. Like I said, I'm not going to limit myself, but there is one genre I definitely want to top or at least tackle on at least a little bit. Erotica. Not necessarily.
All right.
No, same type. Not the same type, but, you know.
You big enough. Big enough. Man.
Oh. Oh, grown man. Oh,
yeah.
What's the strength? You
got
that phone, you big enough. You know how to pee. How old are you?
Old enough to write sticky sheets.
Yeah. Oh, sex socks. Just call it. Sex socks. Not just
no,
the gym.
No, you don't. No. You're so ignorant as hell.
Nah, but hey, man, I'm telling you. That you really should get into that, man. I mean, because it'll be weird. I'm sorry. It'll be weird to read something like that for you. I would support you, but I just wouldn't read. I'd buy the book and give it to somebody else. I just couldn't read it. Like, man, because I'd just be thinking, like, man, is this what he thinks about doing his own stuff? Like, I don't want to read that thing, man.
I hear you, but, I mean, at the same time, my mom writes some of this stuff.
Right.
Like, I feel you on that one because, like, I read one of my mother's books, The Pleasure's All Mine, and by all means, that threw me for a loop. I'm like, dang, mama.
I like
come
that.
On.
You better than me, bro. Yeah. I could not read a book written by Dorothy Gage. No.
I couldn't.
I don't even want to, yeah.
Not an erotica book.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
I don't know. And see her, and the handcuffs came out.
Yeah.
I don't want no.
Especially,
no.
Yeah,
that's the type of stuff that was actually in my mother's book that kind of, I threw the book at the wall as soon as I saw that.
Like, not my mama.
You
not because I'm very visual.
Yeah, that's what it.
Right.
You got that.
Right.
You got that. What they call it? Brain fart.
There
you it
go. 818-514-1202.
Mental picture. I don't want the mental picture of my mom.
Right.
Yeah, talking about, and he slowly took the handcuffs off as the nipples percolated. I don't
Is that Snickers for me, or are you happy to see me?
She said, I don't want the book to say, because Candace asked me, so I'm repeating. He slowly took the handcuffs off as the nipples percolated.
And my fallopian tubes opened up.
Brad, we need another topic.
There you go. You ever write children's books?
How are we going to shift from that to children's books, man?
That's what I was just
we needed to change.
Not the children's book.
We could have slowed and went down and have you thought about doing the autobiography of Sandusky or something before we just jumped straight in.
Dora the Explorer.
Anyway, please.
But, hey, bro, real quick, man. Did you, outside of the sci-fi, and I know you was talking about did you think about doing what I would love to see you do, though, really, and it's just a personal thing, is it like a mystery book, something that has a twist to it? Because you got the skills, no doubt. Like, if anybody read your books, you got the skills, man, but I would love for you to do, like, a mystery, a thriller type of joint. Like,
an erotic thriller.
Alex
Cross.
Alex Cross. Tyler Perry.
Oh, Lord.
No, but I really...
Have you
thought about doing like that mystery / thriller like that? What's the thought process that comes down when it comes to making a novel or making a book? What thought process do you go through?
I mean, you just try to I try to think of something that hasn't been done before, because you know there's all this what's the term called, urban fiction or hood fiction out now, or, you got the book covers with the girls in the boy shorts and guns and all that stuff.
Okay.
Not comfortable with writing that, but I'm not going to say that I can't. But most of the time for me is just, trying to come up with something that somebody else has not done. You could tell a story a million different times, but at the same time, what's that one time that somebody hasn't heard of? Something that's different, something that, is fresh and new and original at the same time.
Okay, let me ask you this. Have you thought about graphic novels?
What type of graphic novel?
I don't know. I mean, with the graphic novels being real hot, and that's what's driving Hollywood right now, Marvel is just hot and on top of the world right now with their movies, but it seemed like they're really struggling to do a black movie. They haven't attempted to put anything out since Blade, and I know the Black Panther has been on the table, but they can't seem to get what they want right. Or Luke Cage is on the table, and they can't seem to get that the way they wanted to put it out. So I mean, it's not like you're the type of brother that they actually would need. And I know Eric Jerome Dickey did a 5-part series about Storm and the Black Panther and how they met, and it was a pretty awesome story.
I mean, I'm not going to limit myself to saying that I can't do it. I've never really thought about it, but I mean, it's like I've read a couple of graphic novels and they look very cool. It's mainly just having the time to actually sit down there and do that, because I got a lot of stuff going on, I'm in school. Mm-hmm. Got website development on the other side, and then writing on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
At that point, one book at a time is kind of a good idea to stick with.
Dig that. Okay.
But,
so,
I mean, even with Hollywood, huh?
No, go ahead. You can finish your statement. I got a question, but go ahead, finish your statement.
like even with Hollywood, like trying to break down that barrier and everything like that. I mean, yeah, it only takes one, but you got to look how they actually treating our other movies, not necessarily just, you know, action and graphic novel type movies and everything like that. You got to look at like how they treated Red Tails.
Uh huh.
Mm-hmm. You got to look how they treated other black movies. It's not that they somewhat don't want to do it. This is a capitalist society. If it's not going to make the money with every single viewer, they're not going to try to do it. Or you got to find the backing to do it on your own.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Great stuff. Again, we're sitting here with J.L. Woodson, noted author.
818-514-1202, should anyone have any questions, comments.
Okay. Creativity. And with the music industry, I will, because this is one thing I wanted to definitely get your input on. Do you find a lot of lack of creativity in the music industry, or do you feel like the labels are hindering the actual artists?
Well, I mean, I would say the label has a lot to do with what most artists put out, because of course people want to follow the trend. Like, when that whole dance craze stuff started coming out, all that, you know, Superman and Soulja Boy and all that good stuff, like, you notice, like, everybody after that started coming out with another dance.
Mm-hmm.
When it comes to, like, having creativity, yeah, they thought this stuff up. I mean, honestly, I'm kind of disappointed in the music industry right now, because I'm not going to say that, you know, people shouldn't make their money, but people shouldn't make their money dumbing down folk.
Say it again.
I don't think they should be doing that. Like, there's certain artists that I actually stay away from. Soulja Boy is definitely one of them.
Right.
Because, like, some of his music is just pure ear rape.
But,
Like I said, yeah, there's a lot of people I stay away from. Tommen, I listen to him on a daily basis. Lupe, I listen to him on a daily basis, especially some of the music that he has out now.
Yeah. Oh man.
Yeah.
Did you cop the new Lupe?
Yes, I did.
Okay, I just had to put that out there. Yeah. Real quick, real plug for Lupe. If anybody get a chance, man, go cop that new Lupe album. If you like conscious rap, man, that makes you think, definitely go get that new Lupe album. Just real quick drop for my man, Lupe Fiasco, Chicago native.
Yeah, we're going to have to get him on the show sooner or later.
Yeah, but just got quiet after Lupe. Just makes you get that brain thinking.
Love
all right, him. Man. So, yeah, another thing. Now, you said you got your book coming out, "Circle Until You Land," right? What's the what's the concept behind that? If you can get into that at all.
Well, I'm writing it as a sequel to Superwoman's Child, Son of a Single Mother, but I'm also bringing the characters from my first book into it. Like, it basically dives into the whole college experience. Like, nobody really knows. Like, unless they actually been through the college experience, nobody really knows how hard it is. Like, my mother thought I had it easy. Like, she thought all I had to worry about was paying the cell phone bill. No, I got homework, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning, being homesick and looking at pictures of Chicago, which I had Maxwell Street Polish or
Madonna. There you go.
So I'm writing from that aspect, you know, trying to keep it as original as possible, because not too many people, like I said, are writing stuff like that. Or writing to where people can actually, where people are actually thinking.
So, if you had any advice or any pointers that you got to any young and upcoming writers or upcoming listeners who want to write, what would the advice be?
Pay attention to everything, from the process of actually writing to the process of editing to the process of even getting your book published, because I don't want to discourage anybody from the writing process or anything like that, but I mean, it's a journey that you go through. It could be a good one, it could be a bad one, but either way, if you come out on the other end, it's all good for you, because I mean, as long as you're doing something that you want to do, not necessarily something that's money thought, because at the same time, you might not actually make money off of that. You might not, but It all depends on how much you put yourself out there, how much you're willing to give out to get back in. Like, my mother and I put out a lot in order for me to, like, even get my first book deal. Like, Zane was my first publisher. And so once my mom put that book in her hand and Zane started reading it, next thing you know, the reward came. It's just how long you willing to stick it out. Because it might be like quite a long time before
like
you actually get that book deal.
Like at 15 or something like that, man. You know, somewhere around that age.
Sometimes you got to start out early. Like, especially if you're a young author, like, your age is going to be your marketability. Like, it's going to be your market because there are not a lot of people that young writing books, especially full-fledged novels.
Right.
So, I mean, I did it, and I didn't even believe I could do it. My mother believed in me and that I could do it. Therefore, I was like, okay, I'll write it. But now look at it now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nominated for an NAA Image Award. Won all those other different awards.
Yeah,
and then on top of that, still writing other books.
Right.
I wouldn't trade that for the world.
For sure. For sure. I think it's amazing. I mean, how do you think, what is the best way, given all that media puts in our kids' faces nowadays? We've got internet now. You got interactive video games. You've got so much now. What do you think is the one thing that we can do as parents to keep our kids engaged in reading? No one wants to read anymore. Everybody wants to read through the internet.
For movies. Or turn it into a movie.
Exactly. You know, to get them just engaged in picking up a book and just letting their mind go. What do you think, as an author, is the best way to do that?
Well, sometimes incentives help. Like, I wouldn't say go broke by paying your child to read a book, but, like, sometimes, what my mom got me to do was, like, one summer, I had, in order to get $50 per book, I had to read one book, do a book report on it, turn it in. By the end of that summer, I had at least $400.
Wow.
So, but at the same time, like I said, not every parent is able to do that. But, I mean, it's kind of hard to do that, like, especially with technology these days. You got the Xbox 360 Kinect. You got internet and Facebook all over the place. But parents have to get involved with that. They're only doing that because you allow them to do that. If you turn the TV off for, like, a good hour, have them actually read something, get their minds thinking. What, I mean, you're the parent.
That's right. Yeah.
I mean, the parents are the first teachers that we have. So what do you think the child's going to do if you allow them to do certain things that, I mean, if you want them to read? Put a book in front of them, turn off that TV, and turn off that Xbox 360. Sometimes it's not just as easy when you allow that to go on forever and ever and ever. Like, once you turn that TV off and everything, like, at least establish some boundaries. Like, when my child is born, whenever I have children, they're not going to be influenced or controlled by video games. They're not going to be influenced or controlled by Facebook because they're not going to be on that computer all doggone day. They're not going to be in front of that TV all doggone day. They're going to be outside playing just like I did when I was a little kid.
Yeah. No doubt.
They're going to be in the house reading a book of their choice, but as long as they are reading and as long as it's not erotica at their small age.
Right. Now, see, I like...
I
like
just want to throw that in there.
Right. I like what you said right there. Now, with all the stuff that you're able to come up with and be inspired to write, your imagination is pretty active, man. Do you think that being able to go out there and play as a kid had a lot to do with activating your imagination?
I mean, yeah. For the most part, I mean, looking at my childhood, some parts of it, I wasn't able to go out and play as much because, you know, Jeffrey Manor wasn't that type of place where you can go out and play and have fun all that much. Mm-hmm. But, when I moved to the suburbs, we had that experience, but it's like main thing is getting your child involved in many different things, because a lot of parents can't take their children everywhere, or take them out of state, or get their minds thinking that they can go different places, or get their minds thinking that they can actually do different things. One thing my mom had me do was, like, I can't draw worth anything, but she had me try it.
Exactly.
Like,
yep.
Even with, like, website development, I didn't start off with a graphic design. I didn't have a graphic design degree or anything. Yet, I'm still making, this is my 30th website I'm working on right now. So, therefore, I don't like it when parents put limits on their children, especially when it comes to their imagination.
That's
or
right.
telling them certain things that, like, yeah, there's certain things that you're not supposed to do. But when it comes to, like, you know, imagination and everything, or getting them involved into big thinking, or thinking a lot bigger, or, like, very broad, I don't think you should limit your child as far as that is concerned in anything.
Right, because I totally agree with that, because another thing, they're taking a lot of arts and a lot of things that help a kid develop their imagination outside of schools. Like, music is gone, and like, all art is basically going out of school. Like, I didn't know I could draw until my mom said, just do something. And I just started playing on some paper. And, you know, it actually came there. And because they're taking these versions of kids expressing themselves artistically away, they tend to get tattoos of everything on their sleeve and on their faces and everything, because they have no way, I believe they have no way of expressing their artistic side of them. So I totally agree with what you said right there. It's crazy, you know. I don't understand why certain genres are going out of school, and well, I kind of get it. I want to say I understand it, but I really don't. But if you like you said, you don't have any children, which is good for you. But if you ever decide, man, I mean, if you ever decide to have children, man, make sure they come on the show when they write their first book at 6, because we definitely got to have them. You know, my dad runs your life. That'll be his first book is My Dad Runs Your Life.
Oh, man, all that status stuff.
You're winning, man. Shut up. That's all it is, man. Just, you're winning, dog. But nah, man. On the real, I got this time, man. I gotta say, you're an example, man. For real. All jokes aside, all kidding aside, you're an example, man. You always had your own lane, and it's like, if you didn't make another lane, a lot of people wanted to jump in your lane regardless, because you led by not following, and that's a cool thing to do. That was premeditated and premature applause, but we'll keep going. But no, you really did, man. You led by not following, and you have the tools and all the abilities, man, to change a lot. So hopefully, man, you get out there. I can't wait to see this next book you come out with. If you get into that erotica, forewarn me before I open the book, because, like I said, I just want to remember the JL I got in my head from school. And, yeah, that's pretty much what I want to, you know, I want to roll with.
Yeah, but I'll be looking for that one.
Yeah, she wants your mom's book, the one with It's Been Your Pleasure, whatever.
The pleasure is all mine.
Yeah, man. Yeah, she wants that one. Oh, real quick, man, where can people get your books and find out more about you? Where can they go to get an update on you, and where can they buy your books?
Let's see. I'm on jlwoodson.com, jlwoodson.com. I'm on Facebook, Author JL Woodson. Twitter I don't use as much, but JL Woodson. You can get my books at Twitter. You can get my books. I mean, you can get my books on Amazon.com, Barnes and Noble. I don't think Borders out anymore. But let's see, Books a Million. Pretty much any market that you can buy books, you can find my books.
All right, and we've got a caller.
Yeah, 773. You're on with the Truth Brothers.
Hi.
Hey. Who is this?
This is your teacher, Miss Muhammad.
Wow. Everybody gets an F. Here we go.
That's right. Red Summer is in the building. Hey, thanks for hanging with us. Uh-oh, and she just disappeared. She just dropped, and it wasn't us.
I think she's mad at us for not bringing her in early. I don't know.
No, she just raised her hand.
Nah, I got it.
No, she probably she'll come back. She'll come back. Don't worry. Then she just disappeared again. She'll be back though.
I think she's not nervous.
Yeah, no.
Okay,
no,
I was just curious.
She's a speech teacher. She can't be nervous.
She back.
All right.
Yeah. Hey, Red.
I just wanted to say how proud I am of you all. It's amazing listening to the show and hearing all the creativity that's coming from you right now.
Wow. Oh, thank you.
Matter of fact, since you're here, I want to take a second to just say thank you, because ever since we had you on, man, we have just had a ratings explosion ever since we had you. So we want to say thank you for that.
Yeah.
You brought
wonderful.
A lot of love.
I'm glad. I'm very glad. Just to contribute and help out.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, I'm nervous again. I feel like I'm in class now all over again, man. Like, I'm sitting next to
you
JL.
You should see him right now.
I'm nervous all over again, man. Like,
hilarious. It's like he's 16.
It is. It's like I feel like I'm 16 and I'm just in class asking JL, hey, man, what's Ms. Muhammad talking about? He needs to fix something out because I'm not going to pass right now.
Yes. I listened to the whole show, and I wanted to catch you all before you went off the air.
Oh, JL, see what you did. That is beautiful. You brought it on. But, yeah, man, thank you for staying with us and just listening to JL, your former protege and everything like that. We appreciate it.
I know. I hope you heard us. I hope you heard the show last week, because we used your drop last week where you called us scholars.
Yeah, that's what she called everybody.
Oh, yes.
Oh, did she? Yeah, so that wasn't nothing special.
No,
that
we're not
okay.
special. She called everybody scholars in school. Everybody.
That's what we were all called.
Yeah, we were all scholars.
Well, here's the thing. It's not what you called. It's what you answered to.
That's right.
That's true.
Well, I got called a best man and said hello. So I don't know what that does for anybody. I don't know what that does to anybody's day.
That's
where
this man is over
here,
like he wasn't intelligent in high school.
Right, but that goes back to what we said on the show. He didn't want anybody to know he was smart.
And he's still trying to keep it a secret, but we won't let him.
Yeah, they make me read, and I don't pretty much indulge in such.
That's wrong.
You say that
to the author, right?
Yeah,
I said your teacher.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
She's not my teacher anymore. I'm not in a classroom. And he's
thinking like a hook in church.
Because.
Oh, okay.
Okay, there's reasons for everything. I'm a huge Kobe fan. And if Kobe walked in this room right now, I'd become like the girl he met at the hotel. I'd be like real.
I hope not.
Like, I wouldn't be like that, but I'd be like, it's oh my God, it's Kobe.
She dug herself a hole she couldn't get out of.
Don't show me your Black Mamba. Like,
right.
I wouldn't want to be like that when it comes. But that's how I am whenever I hear or, you know, read or see anything with Miss Muhammad, man. It's like she had a huge influence on my life, man. And I have to thank her. JL, thanks for coming in with us, man, and chilling out. We really appreciate that as well, man.
That's right.
No
man.
Problem.
Thank you. And we definitely going to have you back, man, for sure.
Indeed, bro. I'm ready.
All right, man. Well, yeah, when that book comes out, we got to have you back on here, man.
Let's post your link on the website to get the word out. Thank you so much, everyone who chimed in today. Tune in again next week, next Monday, all new show, all new topic.
There you go.
I think we talk about erotica. Wow.
We will talk about it. Yeah, we might come up with something.
Hey,
look
at time to go back into another relationship.
Yeah, don't let your man do things you love.
Right, Queen's Day is coming. So.
Yeah,
right.
All right.
So.
Get y'all sign off in.
No, this ain't. Hey,
hold on. We got
a
real
awesome
quick, man.
Go ahead.
We want to say real quick, again, thank you to the Sarah Kuzan organization, man. Again, call Governor Brown. 951-955-5400 and say, hey, 18 years is enough, man.
That's right. All right. And it's been a wonderful show, man. Thanks, everybody, for hanging out and tuning in. And please pass the show around. Don't forget to go on YouTube and check out our clips at the channel is Truth Brothers 1, all one word. Check us out and pass those clips around. Go to our Facebook page. Friend us, like us, all of that, so we can keep sending you information. And I always remember, if you're not listening to the truth,
the truth ain't in you.
Peace.
Two fingers.
Peace.